Okay, Samachet Omer Aleph. We go back. We got hung up. For those that are listening to the recordings at some point in the distant future, it's important to note that you know there are two types of shiurim. There are shiurim that have a hard beginning, and there are shiurim that have a hard end. By hard, I don't mean the difficulty of the subject. I mean the starting time. So there are certain shiurim that have a hard starting time. It starts at 8:30 no matter what. If this was a hard starting time, so I would be here at 8:29 and 59 seconds, and I would start teaching an empty room. But we have a hard ending time because we end with Mariv. So sometimes we get cut off mid-sentence. So last week, we got a little mishkabibbled because there's this girsa problem. So that's what tripped us up at the end. But we'll come back to that as we go through. So let's just backtrack a second to, again, we're on Samechet Omer Aleph from the Iboy Lehu. About 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down in the Iboy Lehu. Last word of the line. Iboy Lehu, an information question. When you have a Nara Mi'urasa, whose the rights to her Nidarim, to be Mefer her Nidarim, are shared by her father and her Arus, which asterisk in the conversation the Gemara calls the Baal, and throughout the rest of the evening I'll call him the Baal, but remember, of course, he is not her husband, he is her Arus. So it's important to remember this. So, Iboy Lehu, Baal Megaz Gayez, O Miklish Kolish. When the husband cancels his share of the neder, how do we view the remaining neder? Is it Megos Gayez, Milashon Gozez? He chops off his 50%, but the 50% right to the ned, do we look at the neder as being still half standing because he only has rights over half of it? He can only remove his share of the neder by being mefir, but the father's rights are still there. Or do we say miklish kalish? It's kalush, it's weakened across the board. So the my nafgamina, hey chakam boilon, what's the case? What's the nafgamina? Kagon denadra mitrinzitin. She takes a neder not to eat two zeitim, two olives.
But I did see, I know what I was looking for, but it wasn't literally, it doesn't necessarily literally olives, but it might be just the quantity. The halacha category of
Is it a zayat literally two olives, the way I explained it last week, or is it two, she won't eat two
olives worth?
That's a little hard to imagine that, you know, that's the neder. She'll never eat two, because, I mean, she's very skinny girl. She's getting married. She's watching her weight.
Two olives worth of
But lo mishaneh. Lo mishaneh for the purposes of the neder, for the dugma. Either way, it's your problem last week that this was a very implausible situation, right? Is equally implausible either way.
Well, no, because I don't remember where I saw this. I think I was looking for something after, but I think the idea was that because of the halachic consideration, then it's like less than a zayit is already not a. It's a halachic shiur, not just a thing that she decided on, which case it actually becomes, maybe you could say, she didn't actually fulfill the thing because it wasn't.
So she takes neder against two zaytin. V'shama arus v'hefirla. And the arus, the husband to be, is mefir. V'achaltanun, and she eats them. E amrinan meges gayes. If we say that the husband's hafara only removes 50% of the neder, then she gets malchus. Why? Because she still violated the father's portion of the neder. The Iamrin and Miklish Kalish, Isura Ba'almahu. Then she does not get lashes, but it's merely a garden variety prohibition. Why is it a garden variety prohibition? So perhaps it has to do with safek. Perhaps it has to do with violating the spirit of the neder. But there's no punishment involved in this.
Right, so the note here is
where in the Steinzels?
Steinzels here. So he basically says, if I understand it correctly, that we have a general concept of eating in general. It applies to all sorts of isurim and chivim, whatever, uh-huh. that a kazayit is considered the basic quantity of eating.
Uh-huh.
So if she ate less than a kazayit, that means she only ate half of it,
yeah.
then it's not as if she didn't eat.
There was no maaseh achila.
So that's then that has to do with the, you know, that's is that considered eating or not? So right. It's not just stam saying if it's a state apochim, it would be entirely different din here. We're talking about something whether she was considered eating only when she finished, because it's not just the question of did she, like what my question last week was because it just seemed very strange to talk about two things, but here it actually matters because if she only ate half, she didn't.
There still has to be a shiur.
Right. It's not like a shiur. She said four is 18 and she ate two of them. That wouldn't count. She by eating half of it, she didn't reach the shiur of achila at all. Only by
right.
eating the second half,
so it's connected to the sugya of chatzi shiur.
Chatzi shiur,
it's also min haTorah or not.
So
right?
then that's what right. actually makes a right. difference if she right. is considered eating it.
There's a sugya in Shas about chatzi shiur. Every isser, virtually every isser, has a shiur. You're not allowed to write on Shabbat. How much are you not allowed to write? Two letters. Right? Is it mutter to write one letter? No. When we say two letters, that is the shi'ur for violating the malacha for the purposes of getting the onesh, which was the subject of our long study last year. One second. How much are you not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur? Right? So if you eat just a little crumb, are you allowed to eat just a little crumb on Yom Kippur? No, but you're not Chayef Kares for eating just that little crumb. So when we say Chatzi Shi'ur, so that's this case. She eats less than the amount necessary to violate the neder for the purposes of getting an onesh, but it is still nevertheless a sur. Right? Yeah.
And how we necessarily connect that with Shi'ur or Zayit as being the definition of what of eating. Now, let's say she took the neder that said, I take a neder that I'm not going to eat a half a Zayit.
Right.
So, what does that mean?
So then for the purposes of...
She eats the half a Zayit.
Yeah. So then she violated the neder, right?
Okay, so
because you can take a neder against anything,
right? So here she's saying two zaytim. The two zaytim are not the shiur of eating. One zayit is a shiur of eating.
Right. So when she...
That, so not the husband of the Baal was made fair, so you want to say that there's only one zayit left.
Here. So you look at Rashi, Lekaye, she gets the Malkus. Ha itata da achaltan lezeitim mishum lav de lo yachel. There's a prohibition that whatever your neder is, you shouldn't let it be desecrated, right? You shouldn't drop the ball on your neder. So here she took a neder. Does the neder still exist when the husband cancels his half? So if we say Megas Gaiz, he merely removes his 50%, but it's still the neder is still kind of standing on one leg of her father. And then if she violates it, so then technically speaking, she has desecrated her neder. However, she can't be punished for it because you need to have both signatures on the check, right? So it's who are you quoting that from? Or is that just the Steinzeltz note?
He's quoting the Ron, but I'm not sure.
Uh-huh. Okay. Anyway, let's go on. So this question of how do we look at the half mufar neder is connected to a different sugya. Now that different sugya happens to be right here, two dapim down the road. on Ayin Omud Aleph. The Mishnah says, we saw this last week, Meita'av lo nitrokna reshut labal. If during the engagement period the father dies, so we don't say now she's completely in the domain of the Arus. Lo nitrokna, the father's rights are not voided, are not given over to the husband. Meitabal nitrokna reshut la'av. But if the husband dies, the prospective husband dies before the wedding, so then she goes back to being daddy's little girl, and the father retains rights over her nedarim. So our Gemara here asks, Eimatai amru meitabal nitrokna reshut la'av. If we can understand this weird case, I mean, the whole thing is a weird case, right? But this is a weird codicil on a weird case. Weird because, I mean, it's weird to us because we don't have this case of the Nara Murasa is unfamiliar to us. That's what I mean by weird.
Well, even with that, it's still strange.
But even with it, it's still strange. But if we encountered it all the time, if our daughters and our wives and etc., our sisters got married in this way, if we had this intermediate period, so then it would be more familiar to us. Also, if we had this, you know, kind of situation where we actually lived in a world with Nedarim and we exercised those rights over our wives and daughters, it would be a different world, wouldn't it? So when do we say this case that the rights of the dead husband revert to the father? In which case? Obviously not in every case. Understanding this halacha will serve as the kind of litmus test to answer our question of how do we view, not when he's dead, but when the husband cancels the neder before the father's done anything. Look, if the husband cancels the neder and the father cancels the neder, then the neder is dead in the water. Right? And she can have as many zeitim as she wants with no violation. But when the husband cancels the neder and the father has not yet than anything. He hasn't canceled it, he hasn't been making nothing, and the day has not yet passed. So how do we view the neder? Is the neder completely gone? Because since you need two signatures on a check, right? Let's imagine, we have this case right now.
Is it completely still there because you need two people to be made for the neder?
No, in other words, you don't need two people to be made for the neder.
You do, in order for the neder to be completely...
But that's the machlokas. If it's Megis Gaiz, so then we say, no, the neder is still standing on one leg. If it's Makhlish Kalish, then it's dead in the water. It's dead in the water except for the fact that... No.
In terms of... In other words, it's weakened.
It's weakened, but it's weakened almost to the point.
Practically speaking, it's dead.
Right.
But conceptually speaking, it's not
correct,
dead.
Correct.
But the only way for it to be completely dead is if A and B both say it's dead.
Right. Okay.
So you could say that you need A and B to be made fair, and it's, unless they both do it, it's not made fair.
But once one of them has been made fair, so then it's certainly reduced, even to the most stringent opinion, it's reduced to the point where she cannot receive punishment for violating the neder.
I don't know why you have to say that. It's factual. Verses, but I don't know why conceptually you said that. You could say, just if you need two people to Makayim, you need two people to Mayfair. And if you don't, it's all or nothing.
Okay, but the point is, even according to the more stringent opinion, if one is Mayfair and the other one has done nothing, so then the neder is not in full force in the sense that the concept of lo yechal applies in the sense that she should be careful about it until her father acts, but it's not a full neder in the proper sense.
In the initial mission that we learned,
in this parak,
I didn't give any of these additional, it has some other status or has some.
Well, this is just the next Mishnah. This is just the Hemshech of the Mishnah.
No, it's the Gemara. There's no the.
And here, but we here's the Gemara. We're not that far into the Gemara.
So you're saying it's a perush. It's
we're still working off this Mishnah.
Still
I mean, we haven't gone hardly less than 24 lines since the Mishnah. I mean, right? And the next Mishnah, the one that we've now preempted, is still, you know, this division of the Mishnayot into separate Mishnayot, or the division of the chopping up of the Mishnayot into different places in the Gemara is artificial. Really, the proper thing to do when you start learning a Masechta, you should learn all the Mishnayot first. When you start learning a new Perek, you should certainly learn all the Mishnayot in that Perek. It gives you the map. It gives you the map of where the Perek is going. It gives you all the essential knowledge of
But the question still is there, and I guess this is also it doesn't seem to indicate there's anything. So it doesn't seem to indicate either of Megi's guys or Mokish guys. It seems like nothing happened at all. And you're saying that there's a Hanacha that it's at least the Isser when was
that's there. What the Gemara is asking. The Gemara, let's learn the Gemara first before we ask the questions. So in which case do we say, how do we look at the half standing neder, Miklash Kailash or Megas Gaiz? So the Gemara says, well, that other sugi is going to shed light on it. When do we say in the next sugi, when we say that if the husband dies, his rights go back to the father, but if the father dies, his rights do not go to the husband? In which case do we say Eimatai Amru Meit Habal Nitrokna Rishut Le'av? Bizman shelo shama habal kodem shayamut. She takes a neder. The husband is unaware of this neder, and he drops dead. So he neither was mekayim, nor was he mefer, nor had he heard it, done nothing, and the day passes. There are three options, right? The husband or the father hears a neder. So he's got nagid until sunset that day. There's a different day that he's got 24 hours, but the pshat seems to be he has until sunset that day. If he does nothing, so then it is a tantamount to a hakama. If he's mekim, if he says, Yashar Koach, that's a great idea, kol hakavod, I endorse that neder. The alternative is he can be mefer.
But wait, what's the difference between the first two? There's nothing and some kind of...
Whether or not the hakama happens immediately. She takes a neder at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he says, shkoyach. So the neder is from 6 o'clock in the morning. Right? Or is it just the kind of, not a pocket anything, veto, but a pocket hakama? It doesn't say anything, so the hakama happens only, the stamp of approval comes with the passing of the day. So when do we say that his rights are voided back to the father, and the father has exclusive rights? So if she took a neder, but the husband hadn't heard about it, shaloshama habal kodem shiyamut. So obviously he had not expressed an opinion one way or another because he didn't know about it. So then it goes back to the father completely. Oh, the second case, Sheshamana. Here, look at the girsa below in the Bach. I mean, the Ran also has it in the Dibur HaMaskil. All the Rishonim have this girsa. You see down at the Hagot HaBach Bet? So Sham Kodem Sheyamut. Oh, Sheshama Vehefer. Right? He heard about it, and he was Mayfair. Oh, Shashama Veshatak Vemet Bo Bayom. Right? So then, in all three of those cases, he was not Mekayim the Neder. In none of those cases was he Mekayim the Neder, and therefore, since he was not Mekayim the Neder, and he drops dead, the rights go back to the father. And the father can either be Mekayim, or he can be Mefer. Aval, top of Samachet on the base. Im Shama Vakiyen. But 6 o'clock in the morning, she makes an eder. The Arus says what he's doing with her at 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. Maybe they had a long date. 6 o'clock in the morning, he hears the neder. He says, Shkoyach, I'm Mekayim the neder. And then drops dead. Oh, Shashama Veshatak, the mate Biyom Shala Acharav, which is tantamount to a Kiyum.
It should be, by the way, Shatku.
What?
It should really be Shatku. Because the father also had to be.
No, because maybe the father didn't hear about it that day. The father's day hasn't passed. Ein yachol lahafer. Then the next day, the father can't be made fair. Why? Because the husband had already been mekayim.
And is no longer has the ability to.
And that hakama remains.
But he could. But if he's. But if he. Once we made it, he can't weaken it.
The father? Yeah. No, so that's a bit bidyuk. This is the question. So if the father becholzot is Mayfair, so how do we view the?
No, that was the mission. And so Chomar, right. if the father is if either side is became the nether, then it's done. So if that's
No. If either side is Mayfair, is became the nether and dies after the became
the nether. So then the father then the other side can't do anything.
If he doesn't die, anytime there's a nether is if the nether stands, then understand.
So right. The ability to be Mayfair is only up until the point where somebody's been making the nether, or de facto it's been.
Right.
If somebody is. You can't even weaken it. By. There's no such thing as being made for a nether that's already been. That already has a king.
That is Hataras Nadarim. In other words, Hafara is the right of the father or the husband or the two of them together during the Erusin. But afterwards, you can always do. She can always do Ataras Nadarim.
The real question you have, though, is interesting scenario, which maybe we'll discuss, is what happens if one side is Mefer, and then the other side is Mekim. So that's basically a non-death scenario, which is related to the situation. So if it's weakened, so right. Is it a weakened but standing Neder, or is it just a full Neder because it's been...
This is our question.
There's no act of Mayfair.
This is our question.
We didn't talk about one side being McKean, one side being Mayfair. If it was McKean first,
right.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
The question of Mayfair, one side is Mayfair and the other side is McKean. So then what is that?
No, so that's our Farah.
No. One side says, the father says, I'm Mayfair.
Yeah.
But the Baal knows.
That's the Gemara is going to come to that. Shema Aviha. Veheferla. Velo hispik balishmoa ad shemet. Ashemet ha'av. That's the opposite case. Right? The father's dying here. Wait. Shema aviha. Veheferla. The father hears and he's mefer. Velo hispik balishmoa ad shemet ha'av. Zohi shishaninu met ha'av. Lo nitrokna reshut labal. Right, the Baal can't do anything with this neder. Right. Well, then now there's four cases. This is the chart that you have. Right. So this is the chart that you have. So the first case, ha'av hefer, the mate lifnei she'speak ha'bal shmoa, ha'bal ena yachol hafer. Right, because he. Right. You see why? Because hafarat ha'av mitbatelet im moto, ve'ein rishuto mitrokenet labal.
Wait, because his hafarat is mitbatelet and he died? That's the reason why the Baal can't do anything?
No, the Baal can't do anything because the father being dead, the husband, who is not yet the husband, needs the co-signature of the father.
But he was Mayfair.
The father was Mayfair.
It was only a partial hafara.
The father was mitzvah.
It was only partial after because he didn't have the second
because
signature.
The father, because the husband hadn't done anything yet. He didn't know about it. And now, you can't cash check of a dead guy. Is that true?
Well, for the metaphor.
But for the purpose of the metaphor. Is that true, though,
I imagine you can. Oh. I hope you can.
Yeah. This is your department. But here, in other words... The second case. Shama ba'ala v'heferla. The Av is Mefer.
He died before the husband. So the husband can't be Mefer because he can't be Mefer because the father's hafara was with Patel when he died.
Right.
And therefore you can't be Mefer because you can't have hafara.
Right.
Okay. Sorry, it took me a while.
Second case. Shama ba'ala v'heferla. V'lo hispik ha'a...
Shama bien.
I'm on the second case. The first case is Zoe Shinameta Avlo. The last thin line. Shama ba'ala. The husband hears. V'heferla. The lohi speak ha'av lishmoa ad shemet habal. Zohi shashaninu met habal nidrok nereshut la'av. That's the case in the Mishnah of regardless of what the husband said or did, now it all goes back to the father to be mayfair on his own or to be mekayim on his own.
It's strange that, I mean, just to comment earlier that not about the content but about the fact they put the Mishnah in not like you know the Mishnah didn't have to be where it was in terms of the editing of the Gemara.
Yeah.
So wouldn't it make more sense considering
The editing of the Gemara you mean the typography of the Gemara.
Yeah. So I'm saying like since basically this Gemara is entirely explaining the Mishnah about the comment right after, wouldn't it make more sense to put that as at the before this Gemara?
Yeah, this is, we have this one. You remember when we learned Sanhedrin? Well, in Sanhedrin, which parak is in Sanhedrin, where all the Mishnayos are up front.
Right.
The last parak? No. Okay. I don't remember what parak we learned in Sanhedrin years ago.
I wasn't here.
Oh, he wasn't here. It doesn't have to... And you know that in early manuscripts, the Gemara was not laid out the way it is. Rashi was not on the page. The Mishnah, we didn't have this thing where you have little stitch of the Mishnah and Gemara, little stitch of the Mishnah.
When did you come out?
The Gemara? There's a history. The Gemara that we have, the standard Gemara that we have, the Vilna Shas, was printed. I just gave a talk on this. I'll send you the link. Was printed at the end of the 19th century. But it follows previous editions of the Gemara, which did have this chalukah, but it's not from antiquity.
You're talking about the Ram.
The Vilna Shas is the widow Ram, the widow and the brothers Ram. It was based on the Warsaw Gemara. It was based on, but the essential layout, in other words, the universal layout where you have universal pagination, where Daf Samech Ted Omer Aleph begins with the same word and ends with the same word universally, so you have this kind of universal pagination system that goes, I think, back to Sansino, to the 15th century or something.
So I have a question. In the first two cases, it's basically the same structure. It's the same. It's just in one case, the father hears and then dies before the Baal hears. In the other case, the husband is Mayfair and he dies before the Av.
Right.
But in one case, it isn't. It doesn't pass to the Baal, but in the case of the father, it passes.
It never passes to the Baal.
Is this because? So the reason here has nothing. Is not a logical reason. The reason is a status reason. The father. The status reverts back to the father.
Again, in other words, I think the way I explained it last week, can check the notes. I think the way I explained it last week was, in this case of a Nara Marasa, right? So do we view her as single plus or married minus? Right? Now, she's not fully married.
Right. So dies,
the question is, who really... So if the father dies, when she's engaged, halachically engaged, her status, her marital status, her personal status, doesn't change. The father, the husband, the husband's relation to her halachically, it isn't changed by the death of the father. But the opposite is not true, right? If she, at this moment, she is halachic, she's an arusa,
no, she's just right? Back to being a regular body.
She goes back to being a
penia. Can she marry a kohen gadol?
Can she marry? I think deraisa, yes. I think deraisa, yes.
I know what other halachot happened with being an amana.
Right. I'm not sure if that's correct, but in other words, for the purposes of these personal status things, she's still she gets married to someone else. She gets the ketubah of a betula, right? Because she wasn't an ashes ish for those purposes, right? So this is the second case, habal hefer, and the husband died before the father heard about the neder, so that it goes back completely to the father, because the husband's hafara is cancelled when he dies, and then it all goes back to the father because he's now fully responsible for again.
Does she have to give a get?
Why a get? He's dead.
No, I'm saying in the period of Erusin, does he need to give a get?
If you cancel the Erusin, you need a get. I don't think it's the same get as in Asia's Ish, but again, we don't have this today, but Zoe Shinri Balance whatever should love. Third case. Shama Ba'ala Veheferla. Velohi speak ha'av lishmoa ad shemet. The father. Ein habal yechola hafer, she'ein habal mefer ele b'shutfut.
So Avin mefer ele b'shutfut.
No, except
when the husband dies, there's no more problem.
Oh, I see.
Right? It's the husband, the father's rights are greater than the husband's. Right? Says the man who just married off a pack of kids. Not a bank of kids, a pack of kids. It took a bank to pay for it. And here the shutaf is not around. So those are the first three cases. The fourth case, top of Samach Ted Amar Aleph.
So what's the difference between the first and the third?
The first is the father was Mayfair, and then the father died. And therefore, the husband has no rights. The third case is the husband is Mayfair, and then the father dies before he can hear about it. So the husband is still left holding the bag.
They're the same principle. In other words, they both can't. Because they're both based in the fact that the father has more rights than the.
Right, right. Well, it's a little bit different. In the first case, the father was Mayfair, but his hafara gets cancelled out. And his rights over his 50% do not go to the husband. In the third case, the husband's hafara is not cancelled out because he's still chai v'kayam, but he doesn't have the co-signature on the check. Now the fourth case is a matter of machlokas, and this is what lends itself to answer theoretically our question. Shama aviha veheferla. Velo hispik habal lishmoa ad shemet. Chozer ha'av. So, okay. The father is Mayfair. He needs the husband's co-signature, but the husband drops dead before he can do anything. So now it all goes back to the father.
Before it should be fine. It should be fine.
Well, but does he have to...
Again.
Yeah, like what's mashallah adav adom? I'm not sure this metaphor that we keep using of the co-signature on the check is perfect. But let's say when we got married, we went to open a bank account. The same bank account we have today, the bank on Palmach. And when we opened the bank account, you know, like in America, you know what it takes to open a bank account? About 3 seconds, right? And they give you a blender. We went on a Friday to the bank on Rehovot Palmach to open the bank account. It took the whole day. Like, we got home, we didn't have time to make Shabbos. You know, the amount of forms you have to sign and fill out and everything. So one of the questions they asked us was, it's a joint account, but do we want it to be that we both have to sign every check? So Lonnie, the way I remember this, I'll tell the story the way I remember it. Lonnie said, oh yeah, that's a great idea. I said, you crazy? Like, every time you're in a store, and these were the days before, I don't think either of us had a credit card. Right? I mean, there were credit cards, but back then they weren't common like they are today. Right? I mean, it's not, you know, like, and a lot of places didn't take credit cards. Right? Restaurants didn't take credit cards. Now, I remember, like, always carrying a couple. This was in the early 90s, mid 90s. So I remember always like carrying like a bunch of checks around with me, because you have to pay things with checks or cash. Credit cards were much less common than they are today. I don't think either of us had a credit card when we got married. Here, I had American credit cards, but we didn't. Here in Israel, we didn't have credit cards. So I said, I'll have to be with you, like, every time you go, you know. So I said, this is a crazy idea. So what happened? So Nagid, that we had done this. So I write a check today, and I need her to co-sign it. But she's not around, I can't get her to co-sign it. At a certain point, we realize this is crazy. Let's say on...
You actually did what you
said? No. But I'm saying theoretically. So on February 1st, I write a check on February 1st, but there's no co-signature on it. So we realize this is crazy. So on February 10th, we go to the bank and we change the status of the account that you don't need two signatures. Can the person that has that check from February 1st cash it? When that check was written, it needed two signatures. When we changed the standing order in the bank 10 days later, is that retroactive? Or... But Nagid, I'm saying again, it's why it's not.
You say, imagine it was like if it would have been on the check itself, it required two signatures, kind of like a lemutab levad. Then yeah. It wouldn't be, you know.
Right. So here's the case. The father canceled the neder, his half of it. Unfortunately, later that day, the husband drops dead. So now it all goes back to the father. So do we say he was already mefir? So the second the husband died, his 50% hafara is now essentially 100%. Or do we say no? The 50% hafara that he did in the morning is now worthless. Elama, unlike when it flows the other way, or it doesn't flow the other way to the husband, when it flows back to the father, so now what can he do? He can be mefer milachatchila.
Except
what?
Well, has to be something.
So shema via vehefrila. Veloi speak abalishmo ad shemet. Choser ha'av umefer chelko shel habal. So now the father can add a second signature and say, I also now exercise my newly reclaimed rights over the other 50% of my dead son-in-law. You'd think they'd have other things to be doing that day. So, Omer Rebbe Nosson, Hein Divrei Beit Shammai. That, in fact, is the opinion of Beit Shammai. Ha'av chozer u'mefir et chelko shel abal. Right? He was mefir his 50% in the morning. Now he can exercise his rights over the dead husband's 50%. But he has to exercise those rights.
But it doesn't devolve to him without him doing something.
No, the rights devolve to him. No, but he has to press the button. He has to press the button. Otherwise it doesn't work. And he has to press the button when?
Well, for the day's help.
That day. Yeah. Right?
Wait, so
why that day? Because
Yom Shamo.
But he's saying that in the same case where the husband dropped dead and nobody's done anything yet. Okay? So does the father have to then say, I'm a fair both my part and his part?
Yeah, yeah. I think so, yeah.
But what would
yeah.
happen if you wait until the next day? Because the next day, even though...
there is Mekim.
Yes, but so that it's Mekim until there's Atara and there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
An interesting question that the Gemara does not present here is, the father hears about it on Monday and he's Mefer. The Baal hears about it on Tuesday, but drops dead before he can do anything. So it goes back to the father. So do we say the father's Yom Shamo was Monday? Or do we say the father's Yom Shamo, it's not really his Yom Shamo, it's the Yom Shamo of the neder. That, the alarm clock on that neder of the 50% and it goes back to him.
Because it can also be, when does the father only hears that a husband died a week later?
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know.
Because,
yeah.
Think about it. I mean, the father has to, Shmuel if it goes Rechoka. Back to him, he's got to have a chance to listen on the day. He's got to have a chance, if he's going to use that.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know. That's an interesting case. I'm not sure that the Gemara discusses that.
Steps into the shoes of the late,
right. That's an interesting case, yeah. So, Amar Binasan, Hein Hein Devei Beit Shammai. This is that the father has to then press the button to self-destruct the neder of the other 50%. Why? Because the hafarata avlonit batla, the 50% that he did in the morning for his own. Me'achar shechelek habal nishar shalem, ha'av zochebo u'mefir oto. So what does that sound like?
Sounds like the
It sounds like Gozes. Megas Gaius. That each half stands on its own. The father took care of his half when everything was still hunky-dory. And now there's another half which is still standing on its own, which the father suddenly acquires rights over, which he now has to do. Omer bin Asen, hein hein divrei Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel omrim, ein yachol lahafer. The father cannot be mefer the neder. Why?
Because it's the whole neder is basically already in collusion. They can't. Right. In fact, can't do anything to the father.
Right. Shma mina lebeit Shammai, megas gayes lebeit Hillel miklish kolish. Why? So Beit Hillel says the father now is stuck. He can't be mefer because the father's hafara in the morning still stands. But what kind of hafara is that?
Just on half.
No, in other words, his hafara in the morning weakened the whole neder. Didn't destroy it. Miklish Kalish. It didn't destroy it, but it downgraded it. So since the whole neder across the board, in other words, if you chop it horizontally, vertically, that's megas gayes, or do you chop it horizontally, miklish kolish? And now that the neder has been muklash, huklash, weakened, einav zoche bechele kabal, because there's nothing to grab onto.
Right?
Right, so that's the sheet. So that's the difference.
But why is it he can't?
you're saying that because the neder has a kalush status, therefore the baal, therefore the av can't cancel it.
Well, it's technically the father having had canceled his half in the morning, right, and then transforming the whole thing. When the husband dies, even though the rights revert to the father on this particular neder, which he himself had already been weakened, right? So now he can't attack it.
Why he can't take this half weakened neder and make it a complete?
I mean, isn't that nullified? What if the Baal didn't die? How does it work? Let's say you said it was. Let's say you go into the shita that's miklash kalish, right?
Yeah.
And a regular scenario where you're both alive. The av is mefer. The status of the neder is degraded.
Right.
And the baal can fully degrade the rest of the neder. So why can't the av also be fully degraded? The degraded neder. Why can't you kill off a degraded neder?
Why can't you kill off the degraded neder?
That's been it. This is a regular case.
In other words, the father had weakened the whole thing in the morning when he canceled it. And when he canceled it, chopping it horizontally instead of vertically, right, he also weakened the husband's half.
Right.
Since what's left over, since what he gets, you know, in Yerusha from the husband is now kalush, is now weakened.
I don't know.
So this is what the Ran says. The Ran says, Ein ba chashivut ve'ein ha'av yachol lezakot ba mikocho shel habal. Lefichach sovrin beit hillel shela'achar mot habal ein ha'av yachol lahafer et sheirit haneder.
Yeah, but again, you know, why is that any different than...
Why is it different in case two?
Because in case two, the Baal is mefer.
Right.
And he dies.
But that degrades the neder.
But
if
that.
You're saying,
what?
The neder is degraded. You're still getting a case of the av being sochebo.
No, but it was before the. It was before the. It was before the.
Asma? Well, you're saying if you have a scenario where the Baal was mefer, that degrades the neder. You're saying.
When he dies. When he dies, his hafara is cancelled. When the husband is mefer in the morning, he dies in the afternoon, his hafara is cancelled, and then it all goes back to the father. That's the case in the Mishnah, in the next Mishnah. In the fourth case, according to Beit Hillel, the father is mefer in the morning, then the husband, weakening even the husband's side, the husband dies, there's nothing to revert in this particular neder.
You can only revert a full neder.
Right. His
even
rights...
Even though in a regular case, where we hold by Marcus Kalish, then one side is made for, the other side can be made for the weakened neder.
And then in order to get rid of it completely.
Here,
yeah.
Here in the case of transferring the rights... But not in the case of transferring.
Right, because here there's nothing to transfer back. It's just this kind of ephemeral kalush thing, right? The normal case of the zchuyot nitrokna, that they go back, that's when you have nothing's been done yet. Okay. So Shema, so the Gemara says, I don't think we've ever covered as much ground.
And the clock is stuck at 9:18, so we're
wrong. That's a mistake. It's almost 9:30. Shema Mina. Oh, no. Zo. Ein yachol lafer shma min ala beit shamay migas goyis lebeit hillel miklish kolish. And we've now understood. So there's a machlokus. In other words, we want to know: is it megas goyis or is it miklish kolish? So according to Beit Hillel, it's miklish kolish, right? So that and lahalacha, so that if she takes an eder, normal case, nobody dies. Back to our original Iboilahu. She takes an eder against two zaytim. The husband is mefir. The father is not. And she violates the neder. She doesn't get malchus. Right? At most, it's an isser, it's a prohibition, because of the principle of lo yechal, according to the Ran. That she's denigrated her word, right? But there's no punishment here. So you're right. Conceptually, the neder still has some force, but it's not a full proper neder.
Is this a case of a cool of
one of the cases we go like Beis Shammai?
Beis Shammai, or maybe not, because I guess in terms of in general, it's actually a kula to say that it's in general. Meklish Kalish is a kula because you're saying that she wouldn't be punished by it. But in the case of the dead husband, then it's actually a homer in a sense because the father doesn't have the right to.
Yeah, well, let's think about it. Which case is, in other words, in theory, it should be that Beis Shammai here is the. It's not so clear that this is like one is a homer, one is a kula. It's two different conceptions of how to look at it, and it has consequences.
But if you talk about the case of the two zaytim,
yeah,
which she should be punished, then it's a kula.
From her perspective.
Right.
It's a perspective. Beis Hillel is Mekil.
Right.
Yeah, it's better for her. Yeah.
In the case of the father and the husband, the father with the husband dying, then it turns out to be a homer because she's stuck with the neder and no one can do anything about it.
Yeah, but the neder isn't only in you know, of the person who made the neder. I mean, the reason why a person would be made fair neder is because it affects them.
He can't do it, so he's done.
The reason a person, the meaning the husband or the father.
Be, or the father is going to be made fair neder.
Well, that's the sugya we started with at the beginning of last week, whether the father has universal rights or he has limited rights. But according to, I think, according to all opinions, during the period of Naam Ruasa, even the father's rights become limited to those of the Baal. So they would have to have a reason to do this. But Nagida, this is a case where they have the rights to be made for this.
Right? Well, my only point is it's hard to talk about Chum and Kula because it depends on whose perspective.
Right. Look, and the girl can always go do Hataras Nedarim. Okay, we will pick up next week.